back to back and you write down the answer to the question. So one of the first questions was, what's each other's, Susan, what's your favorite color? And Susan answers it, and Dennis has to write down the answer too. Of course, he held up, what did I say, color? She held up red, and he held up blue. On the next question, he says, what's Susan's favorite dessert? Well, she wrote down ice cream, and he held up cake. Got them right. So the last third question was, what's Susan's favorite flower? Then instead of, I know this one. I've got this one exactly, no doubt about it. So when it came down to reveal her answer, she held up rose, and he held up gold medal all-purpose. Don't get caught on that one, Don, when you play the game. That's your favorite flower. Don't write it down, gold medal, or Pillsbury or something like that. Verse reads, be kindly affectioned. Another translation says, devoted to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In this verse, and I put in your notes, the foundation of these two actions that we're going to look at tonight, kindly affectioned and preferring one another, has a foundation of brotherly love. That's the platform on which that stands. Noted in previous lessons in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul used the physical body to illustrate how we're to function, what our jobs look like, that we have a work, and everyone's to be considered a vital organ. Also, then we looked at in this particular verse, Paul uses brotherly love to illustrate our relationship with one another. And we can readily see how, if we are members in the body, how we work together. But this illustration of family or brotherly love adds the dimension of emotion, warmth and tenderness, care and loyalty. It adds that dimension of devotion to one another. The body, just as the body illustrated, every member participating, brotherly love illustrates how we're to think and do toward one another. Years ago, in fact, it was 1977, David Malone, who was the preacher of La Mesa congregation back then, and we're pretty good friends together, but I've always collected things when I get church bulletins, and if there's an article that I like, I have a box back there. They're not even arranged. If I like an article, I just cut it out and throw it in the box, and hopefully my memory says, I remember an article. That might work with this lesson. So this was written back in 1977. But he quoted the verse in Galatians 5:14. It says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbors yourself. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you're not consumed by one another. He titled the article, The Pecking Order is Out. Again, wonder what a pecking order is? The way chickens on a farm decide who is boss and who gets boss. More than that, the pecking order decides the level any chicken stands in relation to others. What's so harmful about this leadership system is the painful way the chickens decide who's on top and who's on bottom. They peck each other with their beaks until the weakest dies. The boss is the chicken who does all the pecking and never gets pecked. The boss are the other way around. All the other chickens find their position, rank, and worth between the top and the bottom. Those near the top get pecked less and less. Those near the bottom, more and more. That's the pecking order. There have been some observers who have wondered if Christians might be compared to such barnyard antics. Maybe the church in Galatia caused Paul to offer such a warning. Careful Bible students say that's what Paul means in this text. Does this mean that any child of God who puts others down to build himself up as a chicken? No, that's not the point. Such Christians are making disciples. In Christ, we build each other up. Our motive is to serve God and each other purely. Our words lift up. Our actions lift up. Our relationships lift up, even when discipline and correction are in order. As our Lord lifted each of us in salvation, we lift each other up in fellowship, service, and teaching. That's good news. God's good news. Imagine what a little leaven, like the lifting up order of the Lord's followers, will do. Here we have in this lesson, kindly affectioned or devoted to one another in honor, preferring one another. The idea of the pecking order is out. So I put in your notes just kind of definitions. It's just one, it's my style of teaching. Many times I'll use definitions because they not only give us the meaning of a word or a text, but also some many times in that definition it gives us the application. What this word in action looks like in the definition. So I just listed them for you. Number one is brotherly, for the be kindly affectioned or devoted to one another in brotherly love. Brotherly, a family term, literally mean from the same womb. You know, so when we became Christians, we were born again into God's family. We already experienced our physical birth, just as we stand here physically. But when we became Christians, we were born again, but now into a different family, not our physical family, but the family of God. And there's our term, brotherly love, in Galatians 4, verse 4. Fullness of time would come. God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God sent his Son so that we could be family, spiritual family. We are related to each other through a common heritage. We all have the same heavenly Father. All of us are blood bought. Because of that relationship with that common heritage, I put here, we're blood brothers. Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom, meaning Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So you think of what is being kindly affectioned one to another look like? In brotherly love. It means we treat each other in the right way as family members. With brotherly love is the idea of putting those Philadelphia. We know that. Oh, the city of brotherly love. Now, Philadelphia, the actual city, may not be the best illustration for this, but the definition is. The word is. You know, it defines or describes the love that should exist between brothers and sisters in the family unit. It involves unselfish love. It's a love that's ready to serve. It's a love that says we cherish one another. It's brotherly love. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. We urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. So even though we know what brotherly love looks like, and many times we're already involved in it, Paul just writes to these brethren and says, you know what you're doing? Keep it up. You know, the good things in the way that you're treating one another and looking out for one another, that care and concern, keep doing that, he says. So word of encouragement. Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Keep doing it. 1 Peter 3, 8 says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. So we know what brotherly love looks like. And Paul gives this illustration in our lesson tonight. Be kindly affectioned, devoted to one another with brotherly love. And kindly affection, devoted. So I put again by definition. If we're kind to one another, we're nice. Be nice. You know, there's a guy on television advertising. good to each other. Gracious. Not like the dictionary definition of humane. You know, and we think, you know, we have a humane society. You know, it even cares for pets or animals. We know what humane means, or to be kind, what that looks like. Even general society knows. You don't have to be Christian to know what nice is or to be kind. You know? We have a song in our book, God's Family. You just look at the words of that song. You know, we're family. You know, so we care. We look out for one another. We're family. In fact, there's a whole section when I look at these notes and looking up the words of that song, God's Family, 744. But there's a whole section just in our songbook, pages 702 to 759. And the songbook is just titled Church, One Another. So there's over 50 songs in our book that are just devoted or recognized to this theme. So when we sing songs in that section, we are teaching one another, exhorting one another, encouraging one another to do what Paul is saying here. Be kind or kindly affectioned or devoted to one another with brotherly love. The next part, and the last part of our lesson, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. So now, if you're going to honor someone or something, it means you put a value on them. You value them. It means to hold in high regard. If you honor, you give out of respect for. There's a special distinction or credit given to them. I'm going to honor them or you. It's not lip service. It's just not, you know, just falsely speaking. It's not flattery. It's honor. And in 1 Corinthians 12:26 it says, "Or one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." So when we, in honor, we are to prefer one another. In Romans 13, verse 7, we are to render to all their dues. And Paul mentions, to whom tribute is due, render tribute. Or custom, if custom is due, then you render custom. Or fear is due, you render fear. And then it says, if honor is due, you render honor. And the text in our lesson is, in honor, preferring one another. Everybody. No one's left out of this. When it says preferring one another, it's saying, no, it's not favoritism. It's not excluding somebody in the group. Preferring one another is making sure that you're not showing respect to persons. Preferring one another is one another. Everybody in the circle, everyone in the group, prefer one another. No exclusion, see, in the text. No favoritism. It's a positive action. Preferring one another in love, you know, with brotherly love, is the idea of, how may I help you? Everybody, anybody in the congregation. What do you need? Let me get that for you. Preferring one another is the idea. An example I saw too. There was a question was asked of a musician, very accomplished musician. He said, "What's the most difficult instrument to play?" What's the most difficult instrument to play? His reply was, "Second fiddle." Second fiddle. Because the job of being second fiddle is to help others look and sound good. You're second fiddle. You're providing harmony. In other words, someone else has the lead. But you're there to make them look good. So, the one who plays second fiddle, his part doesn't compete with the first violin. Doesn't detract from the first violin. He's second fiddle. Most difficult instrument to play. And he's there to enhance the other's presentation. A good second fiddle, the article said, is excited. excited and personally satisfied when the one he has accompanied is honored by others for a job well done. Second fiddle. I can relate to that. I was played second fiddle in the high school orchestra. All 3 years, I played second fiddle to Harry Woodstra. I'm over it now. Our high school reunion, 50th high school reunion is next year. If I go back, I don't think I will, but I hope Harry's there. And I'm going to say, Harry, get your violin and come out to the parking lot. We're going to have it out right now. Back then, especially in Michigan, Midwest, there was a lot of competition among area bands, I mean, high school bands and orchestras. And I was in the orchestra. Many times you would attend competitions. There'd be orchestras from a lot of other schools in the western states or even in Michigan. And you know, our orchestra would go. Then there would also be individual competitions. You'd be judged, and you'd get a rating or a rank on how you played. Harry and I were always the duet. I always played second fiddle to Harry. Also, the leader of the orchestra, the band director, the orchestra leader, he would always offer opportunity for the orchestra members to challenge the one that's in the seat in front of them. So you would choose a piece of music, and both of you would play it, and according to the judge or the orchestra leader, he would determine who held that chair or that rank. So I would always say, I'm ready to challenge Harry again. Harry Woodstra. Nice guy. But I couldn't beat him out of first chair. I was always second chair. Violin in the orchestra. Forgot the application now. The application is, you in God's family, many times our part is to play second fiddle. Our job is to compliment others so they look and sound good. When we play second fiddle, when it's that time, it means that the body will be in harmony. When one takes his task of playing second fiddle correctly and seriously, it means we're working together and not in conflict or competition. In Philippians 2, verse 4, it says, "Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Of others. And that's what this lesson is tonight. Be kindly affectionate, devoted to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. I just put an example, and I'm going to retell the whole story if you're so familiar with it, but Jesus watching the disciples speak. John 13, beginning of verse 12. "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, sat down again and said to them, Know ye what I've done to you?" Good question. "You know what I just did?" Of course they did. He washed their feet. They were recipients of what Jesus just did. Why did he ask that question? "You know what I just did?" He answers his own question in the text. He says, "He called me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." An example of service. An example of ministry. You know what I just did to you? More than just washing feet. He says, that was an example of the lesson I want to get across. Because the next statement is, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye." Do you know what I just did? Yeah, so he gives the lesson from the example. And that's the illustration for the text. I know there's people here, those that are not members of the New Testament Church, or have not been baptized for a minute. We can honor